This is a Triple M Footy podcast with all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy. It's Tom Brown's news.
Another wild weekend of footy, and round 10 has seen three late winning goals, the Eagles and Blues in crisis, the Cats and D's off the pace, and one of the most dramatic moments in recent times with an interchange infringement deciding a game for the first time ever. There's no one better place to run us through all the fallout, and Tom Brown, I've managed to chase him down into a studio. And Tommy, let's start with some breaking tribunal news.
Yeah, Melbourne will challenge Lockie Hunter's ban, Rudy, from Friday night. An interesting case because Hunter, it looked like on the vision, elected to bump. Having said that, he was basically over the point of the ball at the point of making impact. So it's going to be an interesting test case as far as that's concerned this week. The MRO expectation is that you won't bump in that circumstance, but the practical footy application is that you're allowed to contest the ball or reasonably contest the ball. So an interesting test case as far as that's concerned this week, Rudy.
All right, Tommy, now let's move on to the big issues from the weekend. Yesterday, Carlton, 44 points down at the 17-minute mark of the second quarter against Collingwood. Game effectively over there, and the fallout continues today.
Yeah, they were 44 points down, as you mentioned, the 17-minute mark of the second quarter, Rudy. The game was effectively over. In the end, they lost by 28 points. I was actually on a podcast, a listener podcast with Daisy Thomas this morning, and he was explaining from his observations that Carlton effectively put two more players at the stoppages, which meant that Collingwood had two more players behind at the stoppages, i.e. in defence, which meant the game became a bit of a stalemate. So it easily, I guess on that analysis, could have been a bigger margin. But in terms of the impact on that for Carlton, it does leave them 4-6, and their president, Luke Sayers, has spoken to the media this morning. Carlton were going to put up a player, but Luke Sayers was good enough to stop by and do a few grabs when he arrived at Carlton headquarters this morning. He addressed some big questions, obviously, in terms of whether they'd guarantee Voss. He said they love Vossy. Addressed the finals. He said they expect to make finals and wouldn't comment on the Bruce Matheson Herald Sun comments in regards to the fact that they'd missed out on Ross Lyon and the circumstances surrounding that. But this is a short clip from what Luke, when he was speaking to Laura Spurway from our newsroom, Seven Newsroom, from this morning.
We're not playing good footy at the moment. We're not happy with where we're at. We've got to get better. And we're going to get back to work, and our goal for this year is finals. We did a review 18 months ago, and we believe we've got the potential here to be playing finals footy. And that's our goal for this year. And we don't only want to fall across the line, we want to impact finals. So that's our goal.
Will you guarantee Michael Voss's future if you don't make the finals?
Absolutely. Vossy's our coach through to the end of next year. Michael Voss has been a tremendous asset for this football club. And we're looking forward to doing great things with him in the future.
Rudy, in terms of what it means for Michael Voss, they're certainly not at the point yet of sacking Michael Voss, but clearly I think there's now an expectation even from the club that they make finals. So if they mathematically can't make the finals, this all gets flipped on its head clearly. But this was Voss's reaction yesterday to their defensive deficiencies against the Pies.
I'd only be walking out of here and being lost on the message that defensively we're not good enough right now. So I understand there's been some chatter around what we need to do offensively and how we can maximise better and be more efficient going forward. But the reality is this game's imperfect. There's mistakes happen. How you correct those mistakes and how you flick into defence quickly so you can get a ball back quickly, we're just not recovering it quick enough.
Rudy, the Blues have the Swans on Friday night footy. They don't get a long chance to recover, effectively a 5 or 4.5 day break. My understanding this morning is that Sydney's unlikely to have many of their defenders in particular back, so no guarantees surrounding Tom McCartan to come back. Obviously, Rampy's still out as well. They've got obviously issues, the Swans, but that could be a potential win for Carlton, but a short turnaround ahead of Friday night. There'll be a lot of selection discussion this week. Paddy Dow, a good article by John Ralph in the Herald Sun this afternoon with some of Carlton's key stats, but Dow had 40-plus touches in the VFL on the weekend. De Conning, he actually kicked the ball the wrong way at one point, Tom De Conning. That's understandable, I guess. Anyway, he had 20-plus touches, so there will be a selection discussion around the Blues this week as well.
Every Triple M Footy podcast is in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app now.
All right, let's move on to West Coast. No other way to dress it up, Tommy. Yesterday is one of the worst losses in their history.
Well, so you've got some stats here, Rudy. Their fifth biggest loss, the biggest loss since 2008, the equal third lowest score. They only scored 2 points in the second half and also all to a Hawthorn side that entered the game 18th on the ladder. Glenn Jakovich, who's a club legend, has, well, fairly sensationally called for Adam Simpson to be sacked. Speaking on 6PR over in Perth, he said he definitely, that Simpson has to go. He can't continue, Jakovich said. He was asked whether he has to go now, and Jakovich said, yep. He said something has to happen. The club has to come out, defend that, and talk to their supporters. Not every, you know, not everyone keeps their job. Unfortunately, yeah, it is. That's his time up. Something has to give. That cannot continue. Interesting comments. Simpson post-game posted a video with West Coast's well-regarded media boss, Gary Stocks. And I must admit, Rudy, it was a strange, well, it sort of sounds like a hostage video. Anyway, this is what he said.
Anything to take away from that?
Not a lot. No, not a lot, other than in another game under the belt for some of our younger players. Yeah, not much more, mate.
So where to from here, Adam?
Well, yeah, we've got two home games in a row against two really good sides. So, you know, got to try and stay resilient, keep in bigger picture focus, but have better performances like we did today, Stocksy.
So we'll be chasing further reaction from West Coast this afternoon. Certainly, Rudy, they do seem like an aligned club. Adam Simpson's got a lot of credits in the bank as far as their 2018 flag, for example, is concerned. But they are startling stats from one of the most successful and powerful clubs in the competition, which you've alluded to. And already there's growing angst in regards to Adam Simpson, who's hugely regarded in the industry. And he stocks, pardon the pun, reference to Gary there, but Adam Simpson's stocks have plummeted now, certainly from I guess, clubs picking him up. He'd be a walk-up start, I reckon, 6 months ago to get a job somewhere else. I'm sure he would still be well-regarded, but there's big questions now being raised at West Coast, and it's, I think, going to have repercussions certainly in the next few months.
Every Wednesday, it's Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub.
It feels like I'm coming out the fire.
Joey Montagna, Daisy Thomas and Damian Barrett break down anything and everything AFL. The Midweek Rub. Get it every Wednesday by following Triple M Footy on the Listener app.
Now, the messiest issue in footy right now, Tommy, is the Hawthorn racism investigation and all of its fallout surrounding that. What is the latest?
The latest this afternoon is that Gil McLaughlin, who's in the AFL House this afternoon, is trying to put together a settlement and solution in regards to the independent investigation. And just to explain, that's the four participants and alleged victims participating in that independent investigation. There's two other alleged victims that are sitting outside of that and could still launch civil action. But Gil's trying to put together a solution that could see Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan and Jason Burt largely exonerated or fully exonerated, and perhaps a exchange of money to the alleged victims involved. Now, that's speculative at this stage, and one of the questions would be, A, whether that's appropriate, and B, who'd pay that, be it the Hawthorn or indeed the AFL. That's jumping the gun a bit, but Gil's trying to put together a solution that would see the coaches exonerated and the complainants satisfied. Leon Zwire, who acts for the alleged complainants, I was told by a source, was working on this yesterday, i.e. over the weekend, and that work continues this afternoon. There is doubt now, Rudy, as to whether this mediation that was proposed in Adelaide tomorrow will go ahead because Gil's working on a separate solution. It raises all sorts of questions. There was an independent investigation. Will we ever see the results or finalisation of that? Perhaps not, because the AFL's effectively now intervened. Gil's trying to sort together a solution. Also, will we ever know what indeed took place? Were these terrible allegations that were raised in the ABC article, will we ever find out the answers? Perhaps not. If there's a non-disclosure agreement or a deed of settlement around all this, we might never know. Anyway, that's what's going on in the background this afternoon, that we could be close to a solution regarding the four complainants, a mutually agreeable one, and the mediation that was proposed for Adelaide tomorrow now may not take place. The alleged victims are prepared to mediate. They'd come to Melbourne this afternoon, a lot are based, you know, all over the country, including in Perth. But my understanding at this stage is the mediation is doubtful tomorrow because Gil, as we speak basically, is trying to come up with a solution to solve a lot of these issues, Rudy. Just in terms of Hawthorn's position at the moment, Rudy, Andy Gower spoke to Mitch Cleary for the news on the weekend and also wrote to Hawthorn members just in his view, re-emphasising that argument we had on our podcast last week, or the position, I should say, that Hawthorn didn't conduct an investigation. What they say is they did a welfare check on the complainants, and they still defend their processes in terms of the appointment of the author of the report, Phil Egan, and also the fact that they didn't, Hawthorn defending the fact they didn't, speak to Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan. You can make of that what you will. Sonia Hood, speaking in the lead-up to North's game, they almost knocked off the Swans over the weekend, in her pre-match address, said Hawthorn's report was poor and its response to it was poor, but I would like to think it was created with good intentions. And she had some more broad comments on the situation itself. The AFL was in an insidious position and its response probably felt like it made sense. But 8 months on, no one can honestly believe it's been the right process, and it certainly has not provided a bridge. So there was some interesting and I thought quite clever comments from Sonia Hood over the weekend, Rudy, in terms of her view of the way Hawthorn's handled all this.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
Let's finish up as we do every Monday with some burning questions. Tommy, first of all, this one is a bit awkward. What actually happened at the Essendon President's Function?
A big misunderstanding, Rudy. Auntie Joy, who gave the welcome to country at the Essendon President's Function, left guests startled. Some left the room very upset by her welcome to country. Auntie Joy looked down at the head table and thought it was empty. But what had actually happened was a number of the AFL executives and a number of the Essendon executives and a number of the commissioners were either in the room or had been outside at the long walk and were just coming back into the room and didn't want to interrupt her welcome to country. So they were there, is my point. And she's looked down and got very upset when she thought that she'd been disrespected and snubbed in terms of her welcome to country. That was resolved by the AFL with Auntie Joy on Saturday night. A commissioner stepped in on the stage just to calm things down in the room. It definitely went off script and it was obviously terribly awkward, but it was just a giant misunderstanding, Rudy, but it's been pretty well documented over the weekend.
A different kind of misunderstanding here, more on field. We all know North made 76 rotations, but did they make a 77th?
Yeah, they did. The AFL website, Fox and Seven, we all had the vision and showed that yesterday. There was a 77th rotation. That was Shield coming back on the ground. That was at the AFL's directive to correct the 76th rotation. The AFL's reviewed that response on the weekend and ticked off on what happened, basically, Rudy. You might have read over the weekend there's an interchange steward that works with the clubs, but North on 74 ended up doing two rotations rather than one, which ticked them over. And in the space of about 20 or 30 or 40 seconds, that was then communicated upstairs, communicated out to the goal umpire and the umpire, and I think handled as best it could. I mean, the flip side could have been that we discovered that after the game, and if the result stood, you could get an anomalous result. So I think all in all, it's basically been ticked off, and it was just it was a blue, Rudy. We've never seen it before. We might never see it again. But that's just what took place. But yes, there was a 77th rotation at the AFL's directive. The idea there being you don't want to be rewarded by having a more fresh player on the ground. So they undid the 76th rotation.
Makes sense to me. Now, one last one, Tommy. Going back to Friday night, should Port extend Ken Hinckley's contract right now?
Is he 7 wins in a row?
7 wins in a row.
I reckon big
scalps too. Melbourne's a good win.
I like hungry coaches. I think that they've committed to wait till August to do Ken's contract. If this continues, Ken will get an offer for a contract and the issue will resolve itself. So I wouldn't do it now. Ken's hungry. Port are playing for him. There's great energy there. They're a genuine contender and I wouldn't renew it right now. I like hungry coaches, Rudy. I know it's a bit harsh because he deserves one, but on this performance at the moment, he'll get one. So I think it's a bit of a, it's not a non-issue, but it will become a non-issue at this rate.
I tend to agree. Thanks for your time today, Tommy. I'll let you go and get back to Channel 7. I'm sure they're after some of your time. Thanks
for chasing around people this afternoon, Rudy, obviously working on the Hawthorn story and also the latest from Carlton tonight. So there's lots going on.
You're the busiest man in footy. I'll see you Thursday.
Cheers, man.
That was Tom Brown's News. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more. And subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener to get all our podcasts throughout the season. Barine Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.